For 5/16/2012, Video Games Hot Dogs Got Ridges. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're back with another episode of Video Games Hot Dog. The sound of my voice inside my head made me think, ah, fuck, we're clipping.
Oh, yeah?
How does that happen?
That is kind of weird.
Were you speaking really loudly, or...
Were you on a ship?
Like I do have
an old sailboat?
I do have, like, a weird plastic tube running from my mouth back into my ear.
Okay.
But that's just so I can have a snack.
I don't even want to really think about that too hard.
How's it going, guys?
Did you ever...
Diabloed out.
Yeah, I kind of am.
You've turned into one of those zombies from New Tristram.
As a kid, did you ever go to the doctor and have them professionally remove wax from your ears? As opposed to just, you know, avocationally.
Right. No, I mean, I had a buddy who was a doctor who did it just for fun.
Right.
Took some pictures.
When I was a kid, I have this memory. I mean, maybe this didn't happen. It could have been some sort of bizarre, boring dream. But I remember going and they like flushed out my ear with hot, warm water or whatever, and then stuck what was like a metal hook in and pulled this like plug of wax out.
Are you sure that wasn't like your brain and you were getting mummified?
No. I mean, I'm not sure about anything, really.
I mean, it was 3,000 years ago.
Right.
So it's entirely possible.
And ever since then, every time I've gone to a doctor, I've been like, could you do this thing to me? Because I remember it being awesome.
Could you do that thing where you stick a rusty hook in my ear and pull out a chunk of something?
Yeah. And none of them have been game for it. They're like, I don't know what you're talking about. We don't do that. And I'm like, you're doctors. But like, I just remember being able to hear really well for the first time ever.
And the last time ever.
Yeah, apparently. And it has just been downhill ever since.
Every time I go to the doctor, he says, Jesus, can you hear me at all? And I say, what?
Yeah.
They also say, your tonsils look like they've been through the war. And I said, which war? And they were like, Vietnam.
Is it all the decorations on their shoulders?
Yeah.
Lapels,
also,
pins in your...
I do swallow a lot of G.I. Joes. And occasionally some of their little pieces get
Well, stuck. Because you store them in your ears and you eat them as snacks.
Yeah.
Mm.
So what have you been up to other than thinking about that for the last couple minutes?
Not
see any movies, read any books.
A lot. I saw The Iron Lady this morning.
Okay.
It's a movie about Margaret Thatcher.
How was that?
It was actually pretty good. I'm not really
played by Maggie Gyllenhaal, right?
No.
That's where she likes to cut herself and then gets a job working for James Spader.
Iron Lady is also the secretary.
The reason that we say James Spader is because I overheard somebody at work once saying, it's actually pronounced James Spader.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's totally not.
That sounds like a fun game, is attempting to convince people to mispronounce celebrity names.
Just saying it so that people would overhear you and have stories to tell on podcasts 13 years later.
Johnny Depp?
Sure, I think that's probably just a porn star.
Oh, yeah. That's probably true.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of...
You're trying to think of something.
Well, no, I was trying to think of a fun way to mispronounce Ed Norton, but that's hard.
I tried to think of a celebrity name, and the first one I thought of was Oliver Cromwell. I kind of need to sleep soon.
Oliver
so
Cromwell.
Have you not slept since Diablo 3 came out?
No, I have. It's just I'm on kind of an early morning schedule now.
Okay.
I think I got up at like 6 this morning.
So. All right.
You guys, people don't know what time it is when they're listening to this.
No, it is whatever.
Somebody's listening to it at 5:30 in the morning and saying, how's Riff recording this podcast a half an hour before he woke up?
Time
that explains why he's so tired.
Yeah.
I read The Hunger Games. I read the first book of The Hunger Games.
You did not seem impressed?
I mean, it wasn't magical.
Okay.
It didn't blow me away.
All I was basing that on was your tweet. About it.
Oh, no, I was making a joke about the number 11 appearing.
Well, I thought you were trying to say that the book was not ridiculous, was not ridiculous or not even funny. I don't know.
No, I just like 11.
11, when it's by itself isolated with an exclamation point.
If you like that plot in general, I can recommend the Battle Royale novel.
Battle Royale is about a girl who hunts and knows which kinds of berries to eat. Then cool, because that's what I liked about it. That's the only thing I liked about the book.
Girls who know what kind
of berries to eat. Next up is That version of Lord of the Flies that's all sorority girls.
Mm.
And berries.
Pillow fights.
Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to struggle to figure out which sorts of leaves are safe to make pillows out of.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough thing to figure out.
Which sort of spider webs they can weave lingerie from.
Hmm.
Or which sort of spiders they can just steal lingerie from.
Huh.
Like teddy spiders. Trapdoor? Oh, is there a kind of lingerie called spiders. A trapdoor?
Isn't that like those long johns that prospectors wear?
Yeah. Australian dinner plate sized lingerie. Everything's bigger in Texas. So yeah, I read that and that was it. The whole time hearing Chris Remo in my head saying, "Read books for grown-ups, you asshole."
Do you think spiders have four breasts? Because they've got the two sets of arms to loop bras around.
Pretty sure they don't
around.
Have any at all.
Well, then the lingerie is going to be really strange.
Do you think that, would you characterize spiders as having two pairs of legs and two pairs of arms?
Well,
as opposed to just...
yes, if they're going to be wearing lingerie, I do. Because otherwise, what, eight legs?
So are you saying that the reverse mermaid would be incapable of wearing any lingerie because it doesn't have arms? That's what makes something capable of wearing lingerie?
Well, half of it. I mean, what? Because she's got two fins and two legs, so she can wear lingerie.
I think the fins are like front and back, though.
They're on the sides.
The side fins are the ones that are like arms.
Yeah,
they have vestigial finger bones in them.
Do they?
Yes. reverse mermaids have vestigial finger bones in their side fins. I wasn't just joking or making stuff up.
I mean, you've got way more experience with reverse mermaids than I do.
So. We launched a Kickstarter about a new video game that we're working on.
Yeah.
That's going as swimmingly as a reverse mermaid.
Oh, yeah?
It has a regular mermaid in it.
They probably can't swim very well. It has a regular mermaid in it.
Isn't there?
In the, like, there's a painting. There's an artistic depiction of one.
There's a painting of a mermaid on the wall
of
a tavern.
Yeah, but isn't that...
No.
I mean, I don't want to spoil anything.
I don't think so. I mean... Maybe it is.
Huh. It turns out that is actually the main character of the game. The whole thing is just the dream of the painted mermaid. Maybe that's what we should call it.
Oh,
Word
that,
Realms.
Oh,
the dream
later,
of the
later
mermaid.
In the... I see what you're saying. No, I don't think that's...
Really?
I didn't... Huh. Maybe.
I think those two things that you're talking about came in at wildly different times.
It's an interesting question. I'm sure that like people will wonder for generations whether or not... we intended to have those two things be the same.
Word Realms, : generations, : the Revengeancers.
The : reverse mermaid.
: what dreams may come.
Yeah, you guys should check out our Kickstarter on thekickstarter.com. Just search for Word Realms.
Or just go to wordrealms.com.
Wordrealms.com also works.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Because it just redirects.
Anyway, so between that and playing Diablo 3... That's what we've been doing.
Yep.
For the last week or so. Oh, and working on our other game, The Kingdom of Loathing.
Yay.
Deadlines, man.
Yeah.
Deadlines and crunches followed by days of doing fucking nothing. That's what our lives are.
Yeah.
Although you did a lot more than nothing yesterday. So besides Diablo 3, let's just get this very brief segment out of the way. Besides Diablo 3, fellas, what have we been playing?
I finished playing Ghost Trick the story. Continued to be really awesome. There are some really sweet twists near the end, some really hilarious and cool
stuff.
So
one of the
happened.
Tricks the ghost did was a sweet twist.
Yes. 360.
Grinding on a rail.
And as I said last week, the wordiness continues all the way up until the end. So Jick won't like it, but Zach won't like it. But anybody else who's down for that sort of thing, I can
who's
wholeheartedly...
Who's down for that sort of thing?
Down. Who is down for that sort of thing.
Dumbton Abbey.
I totally, wholeheartedly recommend it to anybody with an iPad or a DS.
Okay.
So you can play it on either platform?
It originally came out on DS, and they ported it to iPad.
Interesting.
So you're still just haunting things, making lamps swing in a direction?
Yep.
Cool.
Discovering mysteries.
Do you get your body back at the end of the game? I guess that's a spoiler if it's one way or the other.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't say anything.
Okay, never mind.
It gets complicated.
Okay.
Your body changes its Facebook status to widowed.
You become a ghost that's being possessed by another ghost. I've been playing a little bit of Spy Mouse on my phone, which is a game that I sort of...
Yeah, I remember you picked that up a while ago.
Didn't
yeah.
you give up in disgust because they added too many levels or something?
No.
I'm thinking of Awesome Breaker.
You're thinking of something else.
Amazing yeah. Breaker.
Amazing Breaker, maybe? I don't know.
Break something.
It was a frustrating thing because of like their... me being a completionist makes that game very frustrating to play. Like, the levels are not hard to beat, but if you want to get all the achievements,
You're swiping a path for your mouse to follow.
Yes.
And there's an achievement in every level for only using one stroke to make the path.
The achievements differ on a per level basis. Sometimes it's just a don't pick your finger up thing. Sometimes it's a time limit. Sometimes it's a score that you have to reach. Sometimes it's like not using some of the bonus stuff. This was also the game that had that like annoying cat that would come back and be like, I'll help you beat each of these levels, or I'll let you skip a level if you can't do it for, you know, only a dollar or whatever. Like, you know, some in-game, I don't think it wasn't a dollar, but it was like some buy me and you can like advance through the game faster.
With real money or with?
With real money, yeah, okay, in-app purchase. So since then, they have gotten rid of that as an in-app purchase, kind of. You can buy things in the game with like cheese that you have found. And I started the game because I had already beaten the rest of the game. I started the game with like 1,800 cheese, but you can also buy cheese for real money. And things that you can buy with the cheese are like.
I mean, I feel like you've been able to buy cheese for real money since the dawn of dairy.
You think?
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I often spend real money on.
Do you think dairy predates money?
Yes.
So,
You've probably been able to trade money for cheese since the dawn of money.
Okay, that's what I kind of wanted.
That was probably a better way of saying that very important statement.
Bartering, do you think bartering for cheese has always been a thing?
Yeah. Because one guy's got cheese.
One guy's got
eggs. And one guy has a comely daughter.
No, was cheese invented before the... dudes were using those seashells as money?
Puka shells?
Yeah. Which
was cheese invented before the puka shell necklace?
Which came first, cheese or the cheese egg?
Yeah, like a Cadbury cheese egg. Just rich milk chocolate with a delicious cream cheese filling.
Ugh. Oh, man. Remember the other week we were talking about fertilized Cadbury cream eggs?
Yeah.
Somebody on Something Awful, they posted somebody made like a little plasticine bird fetus and installed it in a Cadbury cream egg with the red food coloring and all, and then did a photo set of them dissecting this fertilized Cadbury cream egg. It was really disgusting.
Can't imagine.
It looked pretty realistic. It was grotesque.
How did they... they inserted it and then sort of did a fake as if it were not yet opened kind of thing?
Yeah, okay. I imagine they... put it in the back and then took the photograph such that you couldn't see where that had happened.
I mean, you're sure it was fake? I played the worst NES game in the world. Somebody posted a screenshot of a game ending to Reddit, which was just this big werewolf standing in front of an American flag. And then somebody was like, dude, what game is that? I have to play that. And then somebody linked to it, and it was called Werewolf the Last Warrior. And it is just one of the worst Nintendo games I've ever played. You start out as a guy, and then you fight this guy who looks, I don't know, kind of like Balrog, I guess. Just like a big...
like wispy, smoky fire dude?
No, Balrog from Street Fighter, who was supposed to be M. Bison.
I see.
Which I don't know, why is Balrog like a Russian guy? Or Raul Julia? Was somebody else? Was Vega supposed to be Balrog? M. Bison was supposed to be Vega, and Balrog was supposed to be M. Bison? How does that even happen?
I'm completely confused now.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just like a big dark-skinned guy who punches you. And you have to duck and punch near his dick to defeat him.
And you started as a dude, or you started as a werewolf?
You start out as a dude, and then when you pick up the power-up that is a red W, you turn into a werewolf. But then if you pick up a blue W, you turn back into a dude. So why would you ever do that? Answer is you wouldn't.
Huh.
There are a lot of scenery objects that you punch and it makes a power-up appear on top of them, but you're not really sure what any of the power-ups do. We thought that in the first act that you perform as a werewolf is a pit of spikes that you have no choice but to jump on, but apparently you can stick to the ceiling if you're the werewolf and walk across the ceiling using your claws.
Ah.
You know, like a werewolf, right?
Yeah.
And then there are bats that are black on black.
Great.
Yeah, the background is black, and there is no part of the bat sprite which is not black. And so every now and then they'll pass in front of a colored object, so you can see them for a second, but then they like float back down into the... Yeah, it's...
I think they have white eyes.
I don't think you see them at all.
You can climb ladders, but you can't get off the ladder except at the bottom. So
I thought you were going to say, unless you're a werewolf.
There were parts where I thought you just were stuck if you weren't a werewolf, but if you hold up and jump, you will jump higher. Mm. Okay, also, here's how you know that a Nintendo game is fucking terrible. B jumps and A punches.
No. How you know is the direction of one of the dudes and one of their animation frames. Oh, man, yeah.
Okay, so there were also these guys. There were these guys that were pretty clearly just, like, drawn frame by frame after the guys from Rolling Thunder. You know, the like weird skinny guys that are animated really strangely, just because they have very few frames. But I was like, they say something as they are pointing a gun at you. Their sprite changes to like a word coming out of their mouth. And I was like, what the fuck is this saying? That doesn't mean anything. And then I saw one from the other side, and what they're saying is, oh, with an exclamation point, O-H, exclamation point. So what they're saying at you if they're pointing towards the right is, exclamation point, H-O.
Yeah.
which is pretty good.
That's awesome.
That's pretty
good. That is some super quality control.
You can jump and stick to a wall and then jump back off of it like Ninja Gaiden style, but that happens... I would say 90% of the time by accident. So you just get, okay, I'm stuck on a wall, and the only way to get off of here is to jump in the opposite direction and fall in a pit and die.
What did the sign say at the very beginning of the game?
Oh, shit. Don't knock. Yeah. One of the scenery objects is just a sign that says, don't knock, with an arrow pointing to the left. I wanted to go through it and see more of this stuff, because I don't... It was, like, published by Data East, and...
I was amazed that this was a game that actually came out and was not some sort of fake thing.
I mean, there were a lot of garbage games for the NES, right? Yeah. I mean,
I guess I don't hear about them or think about them very much, so.
No, not anymore.
Even a lot of the games that were supposed to not be garbage were garbage.
Yeah, like Kid Icarus. Yeah. I'm looking at you, Kid Icarus.
Did you ever play the NES version of the arcade game Xenophobe?
Mm-hmm.
Awful.
That was pretty terrible. I was actually, I planned to talk about both Rampage and Xenophobe during the listener's mail segment, which we're going to do this time, because fuck this assignment, and what have you been playing is a simple answer. yeah, other than that, all I have played is Diablo 3. Do you think that when Diablo 4 comes out, they're going to call it DI4BLO? Oh. Or do you think they'd be afraid that people would think that was Die for Blow? And that it would be a game about, like, a drug dealer dying heroically.
I feel like there probably won't be a Diablo 4.
You think?
I mean, I got the sense that this was the end
of
the series.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away, but the story is pretty final.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, you. So we got our buddy at Blizzard sent us a text message as we were waiting for the servers to launch on Tuesday night saying, the Koreans have already beaten Diablo.
Yeah,
and then when you said that you had already beaten Diablo, Riff is like the Koreans in that regard. Remember when you tried to launch that missile and it sucked? And the whole internet laughed at you and then made funny videos?
Yeah.
So we tried to play on launch night, and Kevin got into the servers, but I never could, and so we just gave up. We're pretty committed, I think, to this playing through it co-op.
Yeah.
And... It's
different.
There are a few niggles that I have with that experience, but by and large, it's very, like, you know, they clearly did this. They clearly worked on the experience of the co-op play as not just something that you would do after you'd already played it once, which is kind of the way that I generally approach things like that.
Yeah, with a new game that I'm actually... excited for, I greatly prefer to play solo, just because I want to really immerse myself and get into it, and having other players is a distraction that kind of prevents that.
Or having other players is a sweet wizard that's got your back.
It's true.
What class? You're playing a monk?
Yeah.
Riff?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, Kevin and I are wizard and barbarian, respectively.
Yeah.
And respectfully. Very polite barbarian.
It's a good pairing, I think.
Yeah. I'm all up ins with the melee.
Yeah.
Kevin's back.
Every now and then I get all up ins and then I get all up deads.
And summoning a fire hydrant.
Yep.
I'm sorry, fire hydra NT. That thing looks pretty cool, although I haven't actually seen it shoot a fire at anybody. I've got an earthquake skill that is more like a just set the ground on fire in a circle.
Yeah, that's weird.
More than a quake.
Every time that happens, I'm afraid that I'm going to be taking fire damage because I'm in a fire, because I've gotten so paranoid about the crazy area of effect stuff that happens mostly with poison.
Yeah, I don't always die playing Diablo 3, but when I do, I prefer for it to be in poison. Those bugs that just have little machine guns in their butts of other bugs that are made of poison.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Those are super annoying.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've got on the monk. I've got a skill which is basically shoot all the way across the screen and punch a dude in the head, and about half the time it stuns them. So that's pretty good for archers and treasure goblins and bosses.
Yeah, we've been having a little bit of trouble with the treasure goblins because I don't usually have the barbarian's leap skill socketed.
Mm.
I find myself, well, you know what? I was going to say I find myself not using the skills very much, but I've found a pretty good synergy set that I do use them all pretty regularly. And it has, you know, playing up to like level 20, it has started to demonstrate the depth of strategy and I'm still not going to say differentiation. There are these achievements that are like play the game to level 60 as two different barbarians, and I still just don't understand why anyone would do that, because two barbarians are the same as one another.
I think it is possible that there is some differentiation in storyline based on what gender you are.
I mean, certainly in voice acting.
They have a different voice actor. There's different art acting and stuff like that. But I'm wondering if they have different, any kind of different stuff. Because like the scripts are totally different when you're a different class.
I have not noticed anything gendered in the game. But my monk is female monk. And pretty much every time that I can think of that an NPC has said something referring to my character, they've done it in such a way that they didn't have to say what gender the character was.
Hmm. We encountered one thing where the two of us went into a room and they were like, seize him!
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be hard to record multiple versions of those. I mean, because they're already... Man, I watched the credits.
Oh, yeah.
Really long. And yeah. God, lots and lots and lots of localization teams.
Oh, yeah.
And just thinking about, like, there's a lot of voice in that game.
There really is.
Yeah. And just how much work that is sort of staggering. A lot of people complaining today saying, I bet you wish that you hadn't bought this game with always-on DRM now that the servers don't work and no one is allowed to play. And then
there are apparently a lot of people bitching and saying that the graphics weren't good, which I don't understand at all. I feel like they're friggin' amazing.
We are constantly like, oh, man, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird playing video games in the same room with somebody. We haven't done that in a really long time. But, yeah, I don't know. I like the graphics. And you know what? Like, yeah, we couldn't actually play the night before. And I wanted to play a video game, and I couldn't play it. And it's like, eh, you know what? That's okay. Yeah. Those guys are doing everything that they can.
We're adults.
Yeah. you can't expect them to... I mean, pretty much everybody in the country and possibly in the world that is a PC gamer was trying to play this on Tuesday night. And you can't expect them to have set up enough servers to let all of those people get on as soon as they logged in. Because a month down the road, they're going to have to cut it back to half of that.
Well, it does. You do wonder if there could have been some way that they could have had temporary scaled stuff.
Like, I was kind of surprised that there wasn't a queue.
Huh. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I mean, is there just not gonna be?
I don't know.
Because I feel like there was a queue with Diablo 2.
I don't remember how that worked, actually. Yeah. I don't know that I ever couldn't play it when I wanted to.
Yeah, I don't remember ever not being able to play Diablo 2 because it was on the... But I also don't remember the launch of World of Warcraft being particularly poor, and everybody is like, you know... Yeah, it was just Blizzard, epic launch fail, again. World of Warcraft was totally unplayable for the first 2 weeks, and I remember, like, playing a lot of World of Warcraft the first 2 weeks.
I remember there being queues, but it wasn't a big deal.
Might have depended.
It wasn't
on
like you had to log on in the morning so that you could play at night or anything like that.
Yeah. Hey, EVE Online was up the whole time this weekend. Turns out if almost nobody wants to play your game, then your servers are always just fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they, I wonder how their subscriber numbers are doing.
I don't know. I mean, I think that they're actually doing fine.
Blizzard pre-sold like 2 million copies. I think. I
wonder how many of those actually got redeemed.
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, a lot of the copies that they pre-sold were people buying the year subscription to World of Warcraft, which, I mean, so they pre-sold a lot of copies that were pre-sold along with a mount, like a flying horse.
Wait. I mean, are you sure that that's what they're talking about? Or, like, because I'm not sure that they're aggregating.
I would imagine that they would count those if their goal was to make that number bigger.
I don't know. I think they're talking about two million actual $60 pre-sales is what I'm understanding the news to be. I could be totally wrong, but I don't think you could count a free Diablo 3 with a World of Warcraft subscription to be a pre-sale of Diablo 3.
Okay.
I mean, I could be, you know, maybe I'm being too optimistic about their attempts to report numbers or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
And that doesn't count any of the boxed sales at any of the retail locations at all.
Amazon still doesn't have the collector's edition available for sale, last I checked.
Yeah. I guess some people have it though, right?
Like, I really want that Soulstone with Diablo 2 on it so I can play a real game that doesn't have this bullshit always on DRM. I get really frustrated when people describe this aspect of Diablo 3 as being DRM because it's just not. Diablo 3 is a fucking online game.
We should just take them out to dinner at a torture barrel.
You encounter a lot of torture barrels. Welcome to Torture Barrel. Over here is the gift shop where you can buy some rusty meat hooks. And
that's nice.
Over here is the
well done, Kevin.
That where you play. We've got this triangular grid of spikes, and you take the severed heads and you jump one over the other, and you can toss it into a furnace.
When I ran into the torture barrels, I was like, okay, what the fuck? That's hilarious.
Like water
but
barrel.
I totally didn't think
apple
of
barrel,
that.
Lamp oil barrel, torture barrel,
torture barrel. Man, you know what I love about this game is the way everything breaks apart when you kill it, and it all has physics for the fragments.
Huh. Do you think it has physics for the fragments, or do you think?
I think it does. I killed
yeah,
a beast.
I've some stuff across the screen.
Yeah, I killed a guy, and his head came off and hit the ground like upwards, like his head is sitting on the ground on its neck stump, spinning like a top, and it spun for like 3 seconds.
Every once in a while, you'll see a axe go flying, and it's just like whipping around as it falls real slow. It bugs me, the inconsistency. I don't know why this bugs me, but there are certain areas where the backdrop stuff is not actual destructible objects. You know, and it's like, you walk around with those spinny orbs.
Yeah, I'm constantly just breaking stuff by walking next to
the galaxy on Orion's belt, which just damages things that are near you, including desks and carts and pillars and stuff. It's, you know, I hope that whoever figured out the, like, sort of new paradigm where, all right, we can generate these levels, and in the background you can see all kinds of stuff that looks like part of this level, but it's not. It's just a background, but that makes everything look like a giant, sweeping, epic...
Yeah.
Everything. Although it also makes it so, this cathedral is the size of like 30 cities stacked on top of each other.
Sometimes the background actually is part of the level.
Every once in a while.
Which is interesting because there is, like off in the desert.
Weird force perspective.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
You looking down in that chasm and you see part of the level that you're going to be eventually, and it looks like it's a mile away and hundreds of feet down. It is really cool.
It is a little difficult for me to tell anything about the way that the levels are generated. Like, I spend a lot of time thinking about random level generation because I really like that as a concept, and I like games that employ it. And it is... I would be tempted to say that based on my experience in the beta, that I would not have thought that the levels were randomly generated if I didn't know already. Because they're like, at some point, like, you don't think of like a forest in the real world as being randomly generated. And at some point, if you wrote a world generator that basically made things that looked like nature, you wouldn't know. I'm really curious, like, how big are the chunks that they put yeah. into these things? How are they actually doing this?
I wonder if maybe there's like, because I beat normal difficulty and started a nightmare difficulty map, and it looked like the first areas, like around the town, seemed to be the same layout as when I'd played it before. But seeing that it was 16 hours ago, I can't tell for certain. But it looked like I'd see a part of the map and go, "Oh, there's a breakable stump over there," and it would be. So I don't know.
I mean, I wonder if you just start to get a sense of that thing, that kind of thing, or, I mean, the outdoor terrain generation in Diablo 2 was not anything to write home about.
Really, so it was just cordoned off with like fences and stuff.
Yeah, there were just a lot of fences, or everything was just in between lines of trees and rivers, and it was like more or less laid out on these grid lines. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
It seems very fluid, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not, like, there are definitely times in dungeons where you can, like, oh, well, this is just a repeated section, right? Yeah. I've been in this room before. And there are clearly, like, points on the walls where there's different scenery or you know, sometimes there's a chest here and sometimes there's a loose floor tile or sometimes there's a bloated corpse that you open up. Sometimes there's a stack of ancient tomes that are like, oh, I want to read these ancient tomes. And then when I click on it, the guy just hits them with an axe and some gold falls out. It's
like, so these barbarians don't give a shit about reading.
Doesn't read much, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
Still no character builds. You're still wrong about that.
I don't know. I mean,
I definitely have been like, so I have all six slots open for like skills and stuff like that. And I will like pick my six and I'll put them in a specific order so that I have like a good key binding. And then I will stick with that for 15, 20 minutes at least to see how it feels like. And I'm not switching stuff out. I'm like,
I mean, after I found the skills that I liked and that worked well together and gave me all the tools I needed for different situations, I played. I probably figured that out in Act 1 and just kept those skills for the entire rest of the game. Yeah,
I have been switching around a lot. Like, the runes are so dramatically changing. Like, I had an offensive skill that turned into a defensive skill by socketing a rune. Like, and I was like, oh, that's a pretty fundamental change. It was a ranged thing that became like a little damage shield around me or whatever, and like,
hey, maybe you know this. Having played through it, what does it mean to go into town to that guy whose icon on the minimap is a heart and get a blessing?
I don't know. I think maybe he just heals you if you're down, but I haven't
I guess that heart would make sense.
Checked it, yeah.
I mean, it's a priest, right?
It doesn't give you a little buff icon like the shrines or your buffs do.
But neither do buffs that you cast on yourself, apparently.
Some of them do.
Oh, some of them
yeah.
do.
Yeah, my like frost armor had a buff.
It's like, I thought you were just complaining this morning about a buff that did not.
Yeah,
the mantras that the monk uses do.
I have a five minute weapon buff that all it does is put a glow on my weapon, and that's the visual indicator that whether or not it's active, which I think kind of sucks because I would rather just have an effect.
I mean, if it wasn't Blizzard, I would be tempted to say that was just an oversight.
But I think they probably just did that on purpose for whatever reason. Yeah. There are things, like, in the multiplayer, I kind of wish that two copies of the gold, and it's probably not even copies, it's like we each get a random roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is a little strange to think about, right? Because it's like, I will always say, oh, I opened a chest over here, and me opening it causes a different set of its contents to spew out in Kevin's version of the world, which is a little weird.
Like, I'm like, oh, I got two blues over here, you might want to come check it, and you're like, no, it's just garbage for
me. I mean, you never see somebody opening a chest that you've already opened, so that's a thing that they're avoiding.
That is a way in which it is.
But you do see people running in tight little circles around nothing all the time.
Because they're gathering up all the gold
okay.
on their own screen. Yeah.
And it's, you know, the number of times that we have read aloud the stats on a weapon or piece of armor to each other to see whether it's something that the other wants.
Yeah.
I wonder, because there is a chat I bet there's a way to link an item in the chat.
Probably is, actually.
And then you'd,
that would make it a lot easier.
Then you'd get the comparative tooltips. I mean, I wonder if just like hit enter and then shift click on the item. It didn't occur to me to try
that. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
It was good. Like, I saw a thing that was like, Kevin logged on, and I right clicked on you and it popped up a context menu that let me invite you to a party without going through that interface on the right side. Yeah. In general, I'm pretty happy with the way that the co-op is going.
At some point, we should try to get all four of us to play.
Yeah. Me and you and Riff and Diablo.
Yeah.
Our buddy Diablo.
Mini Diablo.
Our buddy Diablo Cody, the author of Juno. Kevin, what's new?
Well, an interesting story has developed with 38 Studios. That's that.
Which 38?
Well, let me list them in alphabetical order. 38 Studios.
Oh, cool.
It's the first one. So is it Curt Schilling? Is that the guy's name?
Mm-hmm.
He was like the Red Sox player or whatever. He took his Red Sox money and decided to found a game studio.
Because he wanted to make EverQuest. Curt Schilling edition.
I guess, yeah. Like, so they were in Maynard, Massachusetts, and then they were wooed to Rhode Island.
The lead singer of Tool is from there, right?
I don't know.
Work.
They were lured to Rhode Island by a $75 million loan from the state.
Which was like they loaned them the money to move to Rhode Island and to hire 450 loyal Rhode Island citizens.
Yeah.
Like the subjects of King Road.
And so in the past 2 weeks or whatever, they have become delinquent. They have they owe like a one.
They're
point...
like hanging out outside the school smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Playing pinball.
They owe like one and a half or $1.1 million, $1.25 million. And it's like 2 weeks overdue. And so the state's trying to figure out what to do with them.
Are they going to send a creepy paper boy after them to say, I want my $1.25 million?
If they default, it could cost the taxpayers of Rhode Island $112 million.
Oh.
Because it's both the principal and all the interest on that loan, which over the next 15 years or whatever is like $112 million.
So they would just be taking the minimum payment out of the tax? Like, that math doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I have no idea how that works. Like, I, you know, they're just paying interest for the first couple of years, and then they start paying back the principal and the payment plan.
Now, see, if the principal had been doing his job, they wouldn't have become delinquent in the first place.
I know.
Lock the gates, man. Don't let them get into the janitor's shed, find his stash of porn. That's a gateway delinquency.
It is entirely unclear what the status is. I think Schilling wants more money. They released Kingdoms of Amalur or whatever, and they sold like over 400,000 copies of it.
Yeah, it seemed like a well-regarded game.
They bought it from somebody else, though, right? Like they were.
I don't know
exactly what the story with that is. They were developing an MMO.
They are still developing an MMO,
but they were like, "Fuck, this is hard. We need to release."
I mean, it's slated for release later this year. I mean,
that seems
No one has heard anything different. No one has seen it or whatever. But it was slated for release in September. So,
but they bought my understanding is that they bought Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning from some other company, made it into a game that was in the setting that they're working on for the
That may be true. I don't know.
Which was originally Schillingsylvania. Their currency is the shekel.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Company tries to make an MMO, finds out it costs more and is more complicated than they thought.
Yeah. News 11. Let's hear it. One of the co-founders of the Call of Duty franchise founded a company called Euphoria. Annoyingly, the letter U, the number 4, a lowercase I, and a capital A, Euphoria. Yeah. And they are going to be releasing a free-to-play in-browser first-person shooter later this year. I have no idea how that's going to work, but...
Like a multiplayer?
That's what it sounded like. Yeah. I mean, it could be cool. The idea is that it's, you know, you don't have to download anything. You just fire up your browser and start playing, and I'm sure there'll be
I'm sure there will be inane hats that you can buy.
Yes.
I mean, that seems like it's going to be challenging in terms of latency and...
I have no idea.
Maybe they hired Professor Latency to solve that mystery.
Maybe they've figured something out, you know? Maybe we're getting past the days where latency's a problem.
Maybe it's not on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's...
We said it was web-based. We didn't say which web.
It's actually...
It's just Morgan web-based.
They mail you a gun and you shoot your screen.
It's Morgan Spurlock based.
Minecraft came out on Xbox 360 last week.
So what I heard about that was that the crafting is not...
Single button crafting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just pick from a list of the things that you can make out of what you've got.
Yep.
And then it makes a thing.
Yep.
I believe that's what it uses on the mobile version too.
Yeah, it is a simplified interface. There's a more significant tutorial, but it's done very well. Apparently,
I guess they sold like a million copies.
They made back. They made more than the cost of development in an hour. So, good on them.
All right.
The Quest for Glory 1-5 became available this past week on GOG.coc.
I bought it.
Did you?
I haven't played it yet.
Oh, nice. I have not yet purchased it, but I'm kind of excited about it. I am sad that they had to change the name from Heroes Quest to Quest for Glory, because I thought Heroes Quest was a better
name. I think it is.
Name.
What's...
Quest for Glory, Episode 1, so you want to be a hero.
Yeah.
So you want glory?
Those are point-and-click adventures?
These are the old Sierra games that were, like, you...
They were not point-and-click to begin with, right?
You'd move
they
around
were...
with... Arrow keys.
Arrow keys and then text parts.
Text stuff. Okay. But there was also like fighting in them.
Yeah. The
it was not like super awesome fighting, but it was pretty cool.
I guess there is the old EGA version of Heroes Quest 1 with it. But what happens, the thing that runs when you click the icon is the VGA version, which is point and click. It's in the like...
Oh, right. They changed
Space
it to like
Quest
the Leisure Suit
4
Larry
model.
10, whatever the newest... The one that isn't being
just
kickstarted.
The mini game collection where you don't actually get to see any boobs.
No. But like Sierra went to that point and click version, and that is a little depressing. I really liked it back when it was the text entry thing. Back when there were...
I never liked switching back and forth between them.
Unique solutions based on which class you were to every puzzle in the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing. I really believe that it's a thing, but I don't know if that's a thing.
I'm interested. I don't remember in the VGA version if all of the stat stuff was the same. I mean, I remember you could level up dexterity by just throwing a knife at a target and going and picking up the knife. 1,000 fucking times.
I had a character with fully maxed out stats that... Because you could also transfer characters from one game to the next.
Right.
And I didn't... I don't know. I played the second game, but I never finished the second game.
I remember playing the second game as a kid and just getting lost in some kind of maze.
In the city. Well, because the city is super confusing.
And it's just like a maze. I mean, it's like, hey, I know, let's make the city a game, a maze game.
Yeah.
Where all of the buildings look alike because we don't have a lot of room on our floppies to draw different sorts of lamps.
And the only other thing that I saw that was interesting was that BioShock Infinite's release date has been pushed back. February 26, 2013 is the new date.
Yeah.
They just didn't feel like it was going to be polished enough.
It's more important
they
for
say.
That to be good than soon.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on whether you are, that was all you were waiting for in terms of living.
Okay, but anybody who is in that boat is crazy. Also, BioShock Infinite doesn't take place on a boat.
The trailer I saw for that game was so amazing that I wonder if it can actually live up to the promise of that.
A lot of the stuff that I saw that was the most impressive was all in-game footage.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, theoretically, that's what the trailer was, but like, I just didn't believe it, right? Like, just all of the like combined powers and stuff like that. Like, one person would do something and then somebody else would like augment it with their stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah.
You
never played any of the BioShocks, huh?
No, I've
never
played any
shot
BioShocks.
Bees out of your hand.
No, I didn't. I did not do that.
I really enjoyed BioShock 1. I never got around to playing the second one.
I saw, this is not really a video game or video game news, but this just came to mind. I saw a trailer for a new J.J. Abrams TV series. called Revolution. Have you heard about this?
Mm-hmm. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
It is, I think it's going to be on NBC, and the conceit of the series is that all electrical power sources in the electrical power systems of all kinds just stop working.
Because of a solar flare?
It's unclear why they are not working.
Because of Ric Flair.
And then the majority of the
Hacksaw
thing takes
Jim Duggan takes place the power lines
15,
down.
15 years later when all the cities have been overgrown by plants and awesome. Governments have collapsed and it's all like militias and stuff.
I can't wait to play it.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be an awesome video game setting when they eventually do the video game tie-in, right? So, I really like that like post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
I like it when plants grow on things. That's why anybody who likes it when there's ruins with plants growing on them should go to Alcatraz, because it's weird how many ruins there are with plants growing on them on Alcatraz.
That's one of the things that made Portal 2 so great.
Yeah, plants growing on ruins. So this assignment, souvenir, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying, and Riff is never allowed to pick an assignment again.
Sorry about that. I was under the impression that it was, actually finished, rather than being so utterly unfinished.
I don't think being unfinished was its primary problem. I did not despise it.
No.
But
I mean, it seemed to me like they had some interesting ideas. It's just they haven't gotten the bugs out and haven't put in an ending and haven't...
I feel like the content was, for like the first 4 or 5 minutes, was like, okay, this could be really interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got a bunch of stuff going on. And then you like step outside the house.
And that was like about as long as I played before going, okay, we can do this one as an assignment.
Right.
And then actually going back and actually playing it, discovered, oh, wait.
Yeah, because like those sentences, like around the house, like exploring the house and being like that was really interesting.
Yeah,
the one like the there was like a squirrel got trapped under the porch or whatever one, like that was like, oh, like, and I didn't see that the first time I went around the house, and then I came back and like it's sort of hidden under the deck or whatever. There's the once I heard my mom crying on the other side of the wall, and then if you can go to the other side of that wall, there's a sentence which says, you know, I stayed with her on the other side of the wall for an hour just because I felt bad or whatever. Like there were like little bits of things like that that I was like, wow, that's really evocative. And the sentences that were near all the objects were kind of interesting, but like the world should have been filled with these sayings. I feel like that.
And it also, like, if you're going to make a game where the primary, like if you're going to make a game where the goal is to like express a bunch of emotional content, don't make it so fucking unfriendly to move around in.
Yeah. And like, plus that emotional content, a lot of it was just, I just ended up not liking this character. Like, did you get to the forest area?
Yeah, I mean, I collected all the objects in the game.
And wandered around there and just didn't have anything to say about this camping trip except how much it sucked.
And well, I mean, it's, you know, that was a particular character, right? Like, that's a particular...
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, and it's a fairly realistic character, but I don't know, not one whose story I'm really interested in.
I don't know, she's a mathlete.
But I mean, is the idea that you're supposed to go and look at all of the things in this world and then decide which ones you want to take with you, thus writing your own version of the character?
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of hoping, if there was an ending, I was kind of hoping that there would be different endings based on which combination of objects you took.
I mean, you seem to be able to take all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like you were supposed to just take 8, though, because you've got 8 slots in your bar.
Do we know that that's a real thing? Because it was super unclear as to what...
The car out front of the house
said there were 8 boxes.
There's 8 boxes left. Right. Yeah.
And one of these boxes is only big enough to contain, like, a key or a single hair.
A single tarot card. Yeah.
I mean, it was just a collection of random boxes that she got stuff from Amazon in, so she didn't really have a lot of control over.
I spent a lot of time not pressing a mouse button, trying to figure out how to get out of that theater.
Yeah, me too.
And that was too disconcerting. And then once
there could have been a sentence. I realized at a young age that I could click on a thing to turn gravity that way, sort of, and then go hurtling off into space for a really fucking long time before it reset me.
Yeah. Falling off of stuff was really frustrating.
Yeah.
They need some kind of detection that you're not ever going to hit anything and then reset you, like, instantly.
Yeah.
There was...
Or they need to let you fucking do that thing while you're in midair so that you can course correct when you accidentally fall off of something.
There was a series of platforms near the church that seemed to be laid out in a way that it was kind of like a puzzly platformy thing. Mm-hmm. Like to get from one place to another, you had to like figure out what was the right thing to be on, then like look up and shoot yourself through a portal, whatever. And like, I was like, okay, I think I can sort of see some level design here, but like that was the only place that I really noticed that. Yeah, and maybe there were other places like that, but it just...
The churches where I noticed some of that too. Like there's a platform where you have to reorient yourself so that you're standing on the little fence along the side of the... Mm. It was like, okay,
but... right as the wall gets to that point where they're like standing on a fence. That's one of the handful of things that actually matches up in The Wall Wizard of Oz.
I see.
When she's standing on a fence, just as they say, standing on a fence. Mm-hmm. That was totally worth interrupting you for. And I feel great. yeah, man, I don't know. So this strikes me as the kind of thing that if somebody turned this in as an MFA project.
And by you mean the game Souvenir, which we're going to mention in the middle of discussion.
Yeah. If somebody turned it in, because I'm sure that people are just aching to play this fucking thing the way that we're talking about it.
People just want us to repeat the name.
I know they do. And it bothers me in other podcasts when they do it, but I know why they don't, because that's weird and artificial. And we're just dudes. Did you guys realize that we were recording this?
What? No.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I've had the mic on the whole time.
If I'd known that, I would have slept.
Instead of being on the podcast.
If you turned this in to
this podcast,
to MFA professors who had never played a video game, they would probably be pretty impressed, and they would say, "Oh, art, ooh," because that's the kind of thing that they say. Oh, this will allow a whole new generation of consumers to understand your pain, is what they will say. But I mean, I don't know what kind of experience these people had making video games.
Yeah, either. I mean, maybe this was...
So, I mean,
maybe they weren't
potentially interesting from that point of view.
I really liked the notion of the emotional resonance. There were parts of it that I thought were, like, just verging on, like, being parts of deeper stuff, but it needed 10 times as much stuff going on.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I think you maybe could have... You could have gotten the same emotional resonance out of a thing where there was a painting of this world and you could click on different parts of it to zoom in to the paintings where you could then mouse over the objects to get the text, right? And I think you could have gotten...
I liked the exploration. I really did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you feel that it...
There were, like, I would see something and be like, what is that? And then I'd finally figure out how to get over there. And I was like, oh, it's like a high school. That's interesting. Because I'd, like... gone to the church first, and then I went to the, like, campground thing.
I mean, it's like you go in the church, and there's nothing in there.
There's two churches, too.
Oh, okay. Well, I went into one of the churches, and there was nothing in there. Also,
I mean, there were objects in there.
Could not...
In both of the
walk
churches.
Straight to save my life.
It was pretty wobbly.
Number of times that I just fell off of shit, and I don't know if it was because you're, like, walking towards where... Well, I guess you're always walking towards where the mouse is, because it's in the center, right? But I just... I would walk and feel like I was walking at some weird angle.
I mean, sometimes you were on weird angled platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe some of the surfaces were curved without me realizing that they were curved.
Or were slightly ramped and the gravity was having to constantly adjust.
Kept changing.
Yeah.
That said, there were definitely parts where you could just fall off.
Yeah.
And
I ended up playing it 3 times because the first 2 times I played it, I got stuck in falling loops where as soon as I respawned, I was falling again.
Ah, that's super annoying.
That happened to me once, but it eventually corrected itself.
Really?
Yeah.
If you fell, there were some times when you could fall and land on a surface that would prevent you from falling further, but you weren't actually on the ground and you couldn't do anything because you were in that falling state where you can't interact with anything. And eventually, after like 20 seconds or so, it would reset you, but it's really kind of annoying. So besides the technical glitches, it was something that had potential. I like this.
I mean, I like the way it looked. I like that surreal Escher.
Yeah, it was very reminiscent of the Milkman level from Psychonauts, which I loved.
Yeah, there were things that frustrated me about moving around in the Milkman level, and there were things that frustrated me about the design of the Milkman level, but I think they did a little bit better job of pulling off what they were going for than this did. You know, I don't mean to be super harsh on this, because I'm glad that they made this, right? I'm glad that this is a thing that somebody tried to do.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we live in a world where somebody can even have the inkling of the idea that they can get away with making a video game for an MFA thesis. But
I hope they keep working on it and finish it eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious what would happen if there was some kind of conclusion to this.
I mean, all they need to do is add maybe six different guns. Like, as long as in the beginning when you're picking a race, you can select both kinds of dwarves, I'll be okay with it.
And multiplayer.
Yeah. Desperately needs multiplayer.
Yep.
Split screen multiplayer.
Oh, man. Yeah. Split screen multiplayer where the right player's gravity is determined by the orientation of the left player's position.
Damn. That was another change in the Xbox Minecraft, was split screen multiplayer.
Ah, yeah, but split screen multiplayer that only worked on an HD TV.
Oh, yeah.
And they did not say that. And so there were a lot of people like, oh, fuck forever these bricks. Fuck forever them, is what they said. And these people were weird. But they were just like, oh, man, I feel so betrayed. Because it didn't say that you needed an HDTV to use this feature. And then, you know, then it's like the comments just go like, buy an HDTV, you stupid poor person.
Whoa.
But I'm a stupid poor person. I can't. Plus, I shouldn't.
I don't know how to spell HDTV.
I can't buy an HDTV because I spent all my money being betrayed by Notch, who is the worst programmer. Oh, man. I hope that we never do anything that is successful enough to make the internet at large feel the way about us that it seems to about Blizzard or Valve or Notch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a really rough double-edged sword.
Yeah, on the other hand, if you do get that big, you've also got enough money that you can just say,
you can just build your own
fuck
internet
you guys.
And let those people in.
Yeah,
but I mean, they don't, right? Blizzard doesn't say, fuck you guys, and Valve doesn't say fuck you guys,
well,
and Notch doesn't say fuck you guys.
Not in public.
Well, okay.
But I bet they do in the office.
I mean, it is true that haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate. Creepers gonna creep.
So we're just going to be honest, and our assignment for next week is just Diablo 3.
Diablo 3,
because that's all we're going to be playing.
Yeah,
I don't know that we're going to be able to come up with a podcast's worth of stuff to say about Diablo 3, so I do kind of feel like we either need to manufacture some news, like we need to really get out in the world and start like, whoa, did you hear Blizzard's HQ got bombed? or
man, if they do, I don't want to be us.
Shit. Yeah, me neither. I mean, I kind of don't want to be us right now. What I want to be is a version of us that's at home playing Diablo 3 some more. Yes.
I kind of want to have those wings that Tyrael has.
Tyrael, no, the you want the wings that Magda has. You want the
those are super cool too.
The Spalders that are just giant live dragonflies.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of girly.
What was it? One of those, I think it was the collector's edition, gives you Tyrael's wings.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
As a shoulder item?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Wait, like, oh, man, if you had some Spalders that were just giant wasps, and they would sting you in the biceps, making you stronger.
How?
Yeah. Be pretty badass. And then they're constantly, like, vomiting paper onto your neck.
Trying to build a nest.
Yeah, building a nest. And it would heal your wounds. It would, you know, soak up the poison from the
bandage bandage the hole anyway.
Yeah. So Diablo 3 is our next assignment because we're out of ideas, guys. Sorry.
No, we'll just, I mean, it's
after
just...
that, I think after that we should probably go Quest for Glory so that we can...
Oh.
Because you can buy that now, and, you know, that's a thing that we'll be able to... We played it when we were kids, so we will be able to go back to it with a fresh perspective. But, yeah, realistically, we're not going to be playing anything except Diablo 3. And I'll probably try to find some more horrible NES games. Hey, now it's time for some listeners' mail. But first, I want to share with you all this joke that Kevin made while we were off the air. I said, every once in a while, my mouse gets stuck on this ridge on the top of the desk and stops working. And Kevin said,
you need a ridge eraser.
Just wanted to share that with you people. So, listeners' mail. Larry wrote, what did you guys think of? And then he linked to that video of the talk that Jesse Schell gave, that pretty vehement anti-gamification talk. The one where he talks about how horrible the world is going to be when everything is gamified and you get points for brushing your teeth.
I watched the first 20 minutes of it. I have not had a chance to watch it. I watched the gamification talk and it was pretty ambiguous, like his first gamification talk.
This might not be the one that Larry linked to. To be fair, I did not go and...
This is a follow-up.
Oh.
Yeah, so this was a two-hour-long video that is... What is it called? The coming gay apocalypse.
I don't think that was it.
I cannot talk today. It's really weird.
You mean you can't say words that Jesse Schell made up?
Yeah. And so I don't know what his long-term like point is from that, but I didn't get the sense from the first talk that he gave that it was all completely down on gamification.
Well, I think he's just down on the way that he knows people are going to start using it because of the money.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a downer in that regard, but I feel like he's probably all right with, the like super better stuff that, what's her name?
Jane McGonigal.
Jane McGonigal's doing. Yeah.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
That is a way for you to, like, let's say you want to lose weight. Right, so you like go to this site and you like set some goals for yourself, and you get points for like doing things that further your progress on that goal and stuff like that. I haven't like looked into it.
So it's like Chore Wars,
kind of.
I was trying to think of what the name of that was.
I think it's probably a little slicker than Chore Wars was. I don't know.
We put up that leaderboard for writing taunts, we wrote a bunch of taunts.
Yeah,
that's true.
You guys just don't like seeing me on top.
Yeah, not that image in my head. So yeah, I don't actually know what his point was. I think we should watch it. Maybe that can be part of our
you should watch it
assignment for next week.
Sean writes, assignment suggestion, Rampage. I remember playing it for NES mostly, but any version would be interesting to check out, I bet. So this reminded me of two things. One is that when I was messing around and playing E.T., I also found out that there was a port of Rampage for the Atari 2600.
Whoa.
Which was surprisingly faithful.
Really?
It was weird.
Like a modern port for the old system?
Rampage came out in 86, which was still Atari territory.
Huh.
I think that might have been the same year that E.T. came out. I think E.T. was 86 or 87, right?
Because Rampage had... The version that I played on the PC was...
I might be wrong about that, but...
Much better graphics than anything on the
arcade. Rampage always reminded me of Xenophobe in the arcade. There was something about it. Yeah. And then I looked it up today and it had the same artist. And it ran on the same hardware. So...
Yeah, they were both games that I really enjoyed, but didn't really have a firm grasp on how to play it effectively, so I never got very far.
That is something, like, it seemed like in Rampage, it was so difficult to avoid getting hit and losing energy that it just seemed like you weren't supposed to, like that you just couldn't
damage. You eat the people in the windows, and that heals you and stuff. And
yeah, it seemed like there were a bunch of different things that could happen when you ate stuff in the windows, but I never really got a good sense of, like, which things were good for you and which things were bad for you. It seemed like there were a lot of systems in that game, but I don't think that there actually were a lot of systems in that game.
I mean, so there's the destruction of the individual buildings. There's the aerial assaults. There's the dudes on the ground. There's, like, the tanks. And then there's also, like, individual people with, like, dynamite sticks and stuff like that. So
there are the guys that would blow up the buildings, and you were apparently supposed to stop that from happening.
I think you didn't get as many points if you didn't destroy the building.
Or if they blew it up while you were on it.
Oh, yeah, that was really dangerous.
And get hurt.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time playing that game as a kid.
Yeah, me too. More so than Xenophobe.
I know.
Xenophobe was really difficult.
Yeah.
There were
It was really neat, and it seemed like there were a lot of interesting tricks and stuff going on, but I never got far enough into it to really explore that.
Yeah, it was just, it was really hard. Like, there were all of these, it was kind of like E.T. in that there were all of these different, like, context-sensitive things that the buttons would do at various times.
Yeah, if you'd happen to pick up a disc or a chemistry kit or, and I have no idea what any of that actually did.
Yeah. Kind of like to read about that.
Yeah.
It seems like it'd be an interesting fact to read. Somebody wrote a fact for Werewolf, The Last Warrior. It was pretty detailed.
Wow.
Yeah.
People get excited about something, and then they produce a fact.
Yeah. Alfredo Boyardi says, "Hey guys, first question. What's going to happen to the podcast when Kevin moves to Chicago?" Well, you're still going to be here like half the time.
Yeah.
So I think that it will probably be no more than like one out of every four episodes that we have to do remotely.
Yeah, because we'll probably double up on a week or two that I'm here, and then I'll be gone for 2 or 3 weeks, and we'll do like one remote, and then come back and double up again.
It'll get weird. I mean, it'll be challenging for us to maintain.
If we had landlines instead of a cell phone, maybe that would improve the latency issues.
You think?
I think it might. Because I'm trying to remember,
I bought that old telephone.
When I was in high school, I would talk to people on the phone, and I don't remember it being as unpleasant as it is now to spend time talking to people on the phone.
Yeah.
I mean, in a one-on-one conversation, it's not as big of a deal, but when you're basically like, you're trying to be on and reactive when you're recording something.
Sure.
Yeah,
well,
but
I'm trying. I don't know about you clowns.
I mean,
we could FaceTime.
I used to spend hours and hours at a time talking to people on the phone when I was a kid, but I can't imagine doing that with the sound quality that comes out of my phone today.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm just...
And plus your battery
would run out. Halcyon days
of
youth.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just all the years and years of collected wax in my ears.
Could be.
Does everything sound worse?
We should go to the doctor. We should go to all the doctors and say, "Can you please remove these G.I. Joe guys from my ears?"
Is the laughter of a child something that just grates on you?
Oh,
is it like rusty nails on a chalkboard?
Is it because they're laughing at you?
I think it's because they're laughing in my ear.
Second question, says Alfredo Boyardi.
Laughing on me.
"I'd be interested to hear what it is about video games that each of you is so passionate about. I know why I love video games, but I need a better way to explain it to my girlfriend and other people who don't quite get it." I don't really know how to articulate what it is that I like about video games and that makes me passionate about video games, other than that they are fucking awesome in a way that nothing else is awesome.
I love learning about systems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
they're very immersive a lot of times, very absorbing. So it's a lot more feeling of actually being in this other place than you get with most other media.
Like, going through a haunted house is a better experience than reading a paragraph about somebody going through a haunted house. Even if the details are better in the story, there is something about the interactivity that makes it yours in a way that it's just not if you're just flat out consuming something that somebody else makes. And that's why, to me, it's video games are a medium that is just defined by a very real back and forth between you and the developer. You, in the developer's imagination, as he was preparing for the eventualities that you stumble on.
Mm-hmm.
And you encountering things that he did plan for, and seeing, and by he, I mean she, let's say. But you find the situations where you do something and the developer did plan for this, and then you're happy when you see it. Mm-hmm. And then you find a thing where, oh, they weren't thinking about this. And then you get a little bit of like, yeah, pulled one over on you, buddy.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'll get back on track now. unless you're Kevin, in which case you're just like, yeah, fuck this. Set this all on fire. If you didn't want me to walk around the outside of this level, you shouldn't have made it so there was a bug in the engine that let me walk through the geometry. But
those are the kinds of emails I send every day.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't want me to walk outside the geometry.
Yeah. You're starting to send those in real life. Like, yep. I was like, Kevin, why are you peering in my bedroom window? You were like, oh, I was just out here. I'm trying to get back into the house because I figured out a trick for getting outside the house, but it makes all the doors stop working.
Yeah.
So
I accidentally jumped through a vertex in the wall.
I'm stuck in your closet. No, like, in the door.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I think there is a pleasure associated with developing an understanding followed by a mastery of something.
Yep.
That video games are very good at abusing.
Oh. That's the weird part of all this, right? Like, you know, we're excited about video games, but are they enriching us in any way?
Are they excited about us?
Yeah. Or are they just
are we just infatuated with video games?
Are they just taking advantage of us?
Well, I mean,
are video games rape?
Are they the same thing as novels? Like, people said the novel is just a degenerate art form and it doesn't provide any enrichment.
Are they the same thing as calculators, where no one's going to know how to do any math anymore?
So by playing video games, we're making it so no one knows how to actually chop down a tree anymore, yeah, because we've just clicked on trees and then they've turned into neat
or
piles of lumber.
Or punched them. Like, yeah. I can imagine a kid going outside and trying to punch down a tree.
Nobody's ever going to be able to raid a tomb properly.
Yeah. Not anymore.
No.
Yeah.
People will assume that if anybody ever bumps into them while they're wearing armor, that they will suddenly be left in just their underwear. And the first time that turns out not to be true, they're going to be like, what? Everything was a lie. And then they'll just turn into some kind of crazy psychopath.
Or maybe they'll just assume that they're immortal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheats. Hacks.
Holloway writes, your recent discussion about Risk Legacy really piqued my interest. Unfortunately, I don't think my circle of friends would be able to meet frequently enough to really get into it. But my question is this. What other games would you like to see legacy versions of? Monopoly Legacy? Clue Legacy? I tried Googling Monopoly Legacy to see if anybody was talking about it, but I only got YouTube videos about Jesus for some reason.
Clue Legacy would be fun if the character that that was the murderer in each game got hauled away to prison. So,
or became the victim in the next game.
Yeah, yeah.
And then every game after that was the cops with the electric chair.
Well, I was going to suggest that the field of suspects just gets narrower and narrower every game.
No, but then new people. You open up envelopes with new people
that have moved in to
the house. And, you know, sometimes like Dr. Murder, who you would think would always be the suspect, turns out he's never the suspect.
Because he just used to be Sergeant Murder.
Yes, and then he was promoted to Doctor. So what else? What other board game?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Because like,
Guess Who Legacy. You can start drawing glasses on. Is he wearing glasses? No. Does he have a pronounced brow ridge? Hold on, let me whip out my ridge eraser.
We could do Operation Legacy. We could... you know, sometimes you remove a bone and that bone's just gone forever.
And sometimes you are digging and wiring new cavities to put bones in.
Yeah.
Yeah. They give you holes. One of the envelopes contains a hole that you put on the board. I mean, if they let you choose anywhere that you were going to put it, just everything would go onto the dick.
Whoever wins the game of Scrabble gets to pick one of the words that are on the board and glue those letters down.
Oh, wow. Ah, we're doing that.
Scrabble Legacy.
Because that uses up the... That uses
Scrabble-gacy.
Up the, Scrabble-gacy. Also, he's John Wayne's brother. That's a pretty good idea. I thought you were going to say that whoever wins gets to invent a new letter.
So Risk was really like lends itself really well to this because they constructed a narrative that still made a lot of sense and was really exciting. Yeah. I could imagine a way in which Monopoly could do something vaguely similar, but it doesn't quite have the same systems space.
Donald Trump just owns the entire board and nobody can get started.
But a lot of the newer games, you could probably do some cool stuff. You know, like I think you could do
Betrayal at House on the Hill Legacy.
Yeah, or like, you know,
Settlers of Catan,
I think could really lend itself well to this. I think Puerto Rico, you know, a lot of games that are otherwise pretty good in their own right that also had interesting unfolding storylines and things that changed. Like,
You know, it is one of the things that I found pretty interesting about playing through Risk Legacy is that the game developed a lot of complexity without us having to spend a whole lot of time reading the rules.
Right.
Right. Because we were excited whenever a new system got added to it. Yeah. And it just, we were able to synthesize that with what was already given to us. And I mean, in a way, it's like, it's kind of video gamey, right? Yep. Where like in the first level, all you're doing is hitting stuff with a sword, and then you get the grappling hook, and then there's a thing that teaches you how to use the grappling hook in order to proceed. And now you're a guy with a sword and a grappling hook. But it's like, if you had been a guy with a sword and a grappling hook to begin with, it would have been harder. I mean, this is a bad example because those are relatively small nuggets of complexity, but you know.
Yep. What I don't think they did this. What I really wish they had done is had for each of the envelopes that you opened up, have at least two different possibilities and have those randomly distributed amongst all the different boxes so that once you had played through it once, because I feel like once you play through the game once, you're going to know what's in each of the boxes, which means that playing through it, if you don't play with people who've played before, you have this weird meta knowledge about what to expect and how things are going to change. And a lot of the game becomes like this sort of meta strategizing between games.
I think a lot of the people who play it are never going to even make it through one entire cycle. Right? Because I would not say that the average board game purchaser plays that board game 15 times before they die.
Which is weird because it is super exciting to open up those envelopes, and you think that that would be, or maybe it just was for us, but
yeah. Well, we like systems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think that's enough listener's mail to take us home.
All right.
All right. Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a listener's mail, how would they do that?
They could tweet us at VGHotDog. They could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com. They could check out our forums, videogameshotdog.com. They're actually linked from there. They're not on there. Those are the best ways. You should check out our Kickstarter on at wordrealms.com. And
that's wordrealms.com.
.com is Zach's new letter for this game.
I'd like to apologize for that name. We couldn't think of anything better.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time trying to think of other stuff. The only one that I liked better that we couldn't get because we couldn't get the .com was
Math Wizards.
Spell Swords.
Yeah.
I know you're not super crazy about it, but I really like that. I like what we could have done.
Spells words.
Yeah.
How about monster portion of the SAT.net?
That's pretty good.
Do you think the SAT would sue? Do you think Kaplan would sue us?
Kaplan doesn't own SAT.
Sure they do. It's the if you take a Kaplan class, you would totally own the SAT. That's what I'm trying to say.
The college board. Like, that is such a ridiculous name for an organization. Don't you think?
Sure.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great weekend, everyone. I think Sergeant Pepper got promoted.
Dick Pepper.
Ooh, Admiral Pepper.
He got promoted to doctor. Like, eventually you get a high enough rank that they give you a scalpel instead of a scalpel 21 missile. I'm assuming that there's a missile called Scalpel 21. That's what they use for surgical strikes.
Oh. Very nice.